Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Green 19 Podcast. I'm Dominique Yates. I'm joined by Ryan Wood and Tom Silverstein. The pads were popping. I got it right this time. So for those of you that would like to see a blooper reel, I butchered that the first time, but the pads were popping.
We'll have that after the season. By the way, just to let you know where we are at in this training camp marathon, and this is, if you're watching, if you're not, then I'm sorry. We'll have to use your imagination. We are 3 for 3 on our waters right now.
Yeah.
Look at us hydrate. Yeah. I'm a late ad. I was going to sit down and try to talk without water for the next however many minutes, and then I was like, no, that's not happening. So good on us. We are trying to, we're soldiering on.
I'm going to object to your use of training camp as a marathon because it's a sprint now.
It is.
I mean, compared to what it was when I first started, you know, and there were, you know, 25 two-a-days and you know, another 15 one-a-days, and it was just brutal, you know. Yeah. It boggles my mind that there's only 13 open practices.
Is that wild for you?
It's really wild. I mean, I don't mind it.
Yeah. No, gosh, we're not complaining. No.
I'm good with it, but training camp is no longer a marathon. It's like, I don't know what to say it is. It's like a tsunami. It hits, and then you're onto the season.
Just in the time since I got on the beat, with my first year was 2014, so I can't – it's not as stark of a contrast as it is for even you, but this used to be pretty long month, right? Like, it was it was a grueling month. Now where we're at, it's a grueling week. And then you kind of settle in. Like, you look at this schedule, family night's Friday, and then they get into the preseason. Yeah. It's going to be more layered like a usual game week. It's going to be less camp feel, which is camp. Covering camp is like trying to drink water out of a fire hose. You're not getting everything, and you just got to keep going hardcore as much as you can and as long as you can, right? It's not going to be like that after next week, a week from now. But right now, we have our water.
Yes.
We are hydrating.
Yes, because, hey, the sun is out. I'm not going to say it's hot. I mean, that's where I throw in my From Kentucky card because
it's... Except that you were, like, you were, like, absolutely melting on, what was it, last week?
It was, yeah.
It wasn't that hot. It was, like, 87 or something.
There was one hot
like
day
that.
So far in camp.
Yeah. But it was odd, early though. On. It was odd. I got sunburned that day. I think that was where my complaint came from. I lived 31 years in Kentucky, never get sunburned. My summers are on 100-degree days.
That's impressive.
And then I get here to Green Bay, Wisconsin, probably standing on that track, but yeah.
Yeah, that makes it hotter. There's no question. That,
yeah.
So. That rubber track. But yeah, you're still kind of weak.
I'm sorry. Spoonhead. Hey, it was what,
Spoon's
6 weeks?
Spoon's over there is Teflon.
Yeah.
Well, Teflon, yeah, Spoon. But I'm like... I'm not from Kentucky either,
yeah.
You know, where it's like 150 degrees, so I don't know what happened to you that day. But anyway, let's go on.
That's what I get, though, standing on that track. That's what I'm going to blame it on, just standing on that track and the sun beams on you. And okay. I just wasn't prepared. But, you know, it's all about one day at a time. That's all you can focus on. So I didn't do well on Wednesday, but I was better on Thursday. So just get 1% better. So, I'm sorry, I'm going to stop. Let's jump into training camp, shall we?
Because I just literally blanked.
Did you?
I'm tired, man. I don't know if you guys are tired. I'm tired.
No, we're fine. But it was only the fifth practice of 13 during this
fifth
training.
6 days.
Yes, it is almost there. But
that's the better context.
Yeah, so things are starting to not fall into place, but like the schedule is kind of rolling, like you mentioned, with family night coming up. And then, like you said, you'll look up. First preseason game, and then the joint practice at the end of the training camp period. And then, yeah, they're heading to Minnesota. But as far as on this day, this August 3rd day, pads were on for the first time. And, you know, we keep saying you're not going to learn a whole lot, which you don't. But I would say you see just a little bit more, especially we were talking about this, Ryan, offensively. You were able to get a little bit of a look of the run game.
What'd you say at practice today? You're standing behind me, and they're doing this opening period today was like 80% run plays, right? It was very obvious, like first team reps with pads on. We're just going to go physical and you know, pound you. And what did you say? It made me laugh. oh, they put the pads on, they actually have a running game.
Yes, they look like a competent, like, yeah. They had a competent running game.
And that was true. Like, yeah. The first four practices without the pads, they weren't hitting anybody. You're like, I don't know how it looks. Yeah. The run game looked better today. They actually had some decent runs out there.
Yeah, so that was, I guess, if any takeaways in terms of looking at the offense. That was a big thing. You saw a little bit of a run game, and you saw some of the placement from the linemen. And, you know, I guess one of the plays that really stood out, I think Marshawn Lloyd was running the ball in the Jordan Morgan kick out.
Hey, Spoon, he's got burst.
I'm not writing about it.
Not yet.
I made that clear.
You know what I said today, and bear with me, okay? Bear with me. He's got a little bit of 33 in him. And that's for better and worse, right? Because Aaron Jones has some injury problems as well. So, that's, you know, Marshawn Lloyd has a lot of injury problems. But the way he runs the ball when he is healthy, and he's got that, like, what made Aaron Jones so good, so explosive, is that he could use his straight-line speed while cutting. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to slow down to cut. He was just kind of knifing through everything, right? And that is how Marshawn Lloyd runs. He runs where his straight-line speed, he maintains it while cutting. Yeah. And that's hard to do. Now, he is officially, I think, the healthiest, longest he's ever been healthy ever, which is about a week. So it's a long way to September, and I know that. I'm not here to say he's Aaron Jones. Let's not, like, get us twisted here.
I think the difference is Aaron Jones, to me, was really good at setting up his blocks. Like,
yep.
You know, he knew when to make that cut, and he would cut right in between two guys or right on someone's behind. I think Marshawn Lloyd, he makes hard cuts, but I think then he goes and he's going to try to run over somebody. You know, he's a 220-pound guy, and once he's going, he's going to try to run over. But he, of course, he's extremely impressive when you watch him run.
Yeah.
When you watch him run.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, you just
let that dangle in there. When you watch him run.
I'll see you in September.
Yeah. You got to get him
maybe.
There.
Yeah. Maybe.
That's it. They got to get him there. And I was really curious how they were going to manage using him in terms of, you know, say how hard would they practice him, right? And because of his injury history. But at the same time, you have to see if you got something there.
Well, you got to put him to the test.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might as well find out now than later.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, but offensively, Spoon, just from your observation, I don't know if you were looking more offense or defense out there today, just anything that
just in general, a couple of things. I did think that they ran the ball. I thought they had some nice openings. I noticed they were thrown to the middle of the field a lot more than I've seen them. You know, they typically, you know, go after the edges or they go, you know, corner routes and things like that. But it seemed like they were, especially to Matthew Golden, they're looking for him to sit down in some areas. They had a couple plays where catch and runs, slants. That was noticeable. I would say that, you know, they got some protection things because there were some blitzes that were rushes where there were some free runners. I don't know if it was as much as on the number one offensive line as it was on the twos, but there were still a couple times where Jordan Love was, you know, pressured. Mm-hmm. So, for one day, yeah, that's what I noticed.
Yeah.
To your point, the offensive line depth has not looked good in the first week.
I agree.
It's not.
Mm-hmm.
We have had bad snaps. We have had false starts. We have had missed blocks. It does not look good.
No.
Now, Aaron Banks and help me with Zach.
Baku Buleli.
Baku.
Boy, nothing like trying to say that for the first time on a podcast.
Yeah. I'm glad you before me.
Formerly Zach Tom.
Yeah.
Have not been practicing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you've got Donovan Jennings playing left guard, right? And Darren Kennard.
Jacob Monk playing left guard.
Or Jacob Monk. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Donovan Jennings occasionally throwing a bad shotgun snap.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, you know, from that standpoint, you are playing with backups. I don't – we'll see how that goes. But that's a big difference when you have Aaron Banks and Zach in there.
Pads on today, things that stand out that don't stand out otherwise. Jordan Morgan early on in practice threw a tremendous kick-out block, where he overpowered Brandon Cisse, which you expect, but on a toss to Marshawn Lloyd, left perimeter, he's leading the way. He gets outside, and he frames up with that footwork. And if yeah. that doesn't happen, he doesn't overpower Brandon Cisse. The fact that he had the athleticism against the corner on the perimeter to frame him up and then overpower him, that you don't see that without pads.
Yeah.
That was a really impressive rep. It's like, oh, okay, that's the athleticism that they like in Jordan Morgan at left tackle.
Yeah, because in those kickouts, it's more placement. Just as much as the power, because
the power is the easy part.
Yeah, because a guy like Cisse, because you saw throughout camp, when he gets to his gear, he gets to that second gear, he can get into the backfield, and we can talk about defense in a minute. But that was another observation. He's been a guy that Jonathan Gannon in practice, he's been sending a lot of guys, especially you can say from that perimeter, and you watch Cisse being one of those guys. So yeah, the placement really stood out in that position offensively. So
I don't want it to be a minute. I want to know what Spoon, not to usurp you, Dom. I want to
do
what
it.
Spoon makes of Brandon Cisse now, because one of the big developments here is obviously Carrington Valentine's out with a hamstring, and Brandon Cisse for two straight days now has gotten the first team reps.
Yeah, I will bet a large sum of. Think of what I can afford. Not money.
I was about to say. If I heard money, I was like,
we're journalists.
Take it.
We're journalists.
Lifesavers that Brandon Cisse will be starting in the season opener. I just think he's targeted for that. I think he's the kid's obviously smart. He's fast. You know, he's got long arms. He does have some adjustments to make. You know, he was a press corner. Pretty much mm-hmm. as a senior, and now he's playing off a lot. But you could just see he kind of looks like a player. So I wouldn't totally think he'll be the starter come. And he's in that position now. He can run with it. You know, I don't know how long Carrington Valentine will be out with a hamstring, but. This is his chance to just take that job.
Well, as far as opposite corner, how would you, I don't know, rank it in terms of what, Cisse, Valentine, or St. Juice, and then like 1, 2, 3?
Well,
would you kind of
I don't know. There's a long way to go, mm-hmm. and I just know that the Packers are going to give him every opportunity to win that job.
Him and Trace Mack.
Yeah, I mean...
We'll save that for later.
Yeah, you can save that one for later. Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
Yeah.
You could draft a guy in the second round. You want to find out whether that guy can play.
Yeah.
And that's what they're going to do.
I'm trending toward agreeing with you on that pretty strongly. If you would ask me a week ago going into camp, predict who's the week one Minnesota starting corner opposite Keyshawn Nixon, I would have said Benjamin St. Juste. And I've liked Benjamin St. Juste for the first week of camp.
Yeah,
I think he looks really
bad.
He hasn't got beat for a big play. He had the pick six. He had a sack today. He's a really smart football player. Mm-hmm. He's really intuitive. Nothing that he's done wrong. But I think Brandon Cisse has held up pretty well in his introduction to professional football with pads, his introduction to camp. Introduction to first team reps, and he is a second round pick that you drafted him at that spot with your first pick of the draft for a reason. He will get every opportunity. If he continues to trend this way, I would say he would be the week one starter.
Yeah. I'm curious about the corner room. I guess we can kind of stick defense a little bit more. I mean, that's maybe, I don't know if it's too early to tell or not, but maybe they don't have that all pro guy, if you will, at corner, but from a depth perspective. I mean, do you think they took a step in the right direction? Not only with the guys you mentioned, then Kamal Haddon is starting to get back into the mix and guys like that. Do you think they at least took a step in the right direction?
Well, you know, they added a second round pick, which is great. He's going to have his lumps as a rookie. They all do. St. Juste is a, you know, I think he could be a starter. But he's probably more of a nickel, you know, third down guy who gives you some length outside. I don't know. I honestly think that they're going to rely on their pass rush all year and hope that their corners are just good enough to win,
mm-hmm.
you know. And they'll count on Devontae Wyatt, they'll count on Parsons, they'll count on Van Ness. Carl Brooks and those guys, they just bring it. And that will have to make up for what they have, because they don't have like a true number one. I know Keyshawn Nixon thinks he is, and maybe he will prove it this year, but yeah, they don't have like a Surtain or someone like that.
Yeah.
Any thought to seeing a week this season when, by choice and not by injury, the two starting corners are Brandon Cisse and Benjamin St. Juste? Is there any possibility in your mind that that happens?
Only if... I don't think so. Only if they decided to move Nixon inside, but I don't think they're doing that.
No,
because I think Bullard's, that's his spot.
Yeah.
And Gannon loves three safeties on the field. No, I don't see that. I think they'll have total confidence in Nixon. Nixon's okay, you know. He just has to avoid those bonehead plays, you know, the penalties and the things like that.
Yeah. I do completely agree with you on that. I just wanted to see, check your pulse on that. I completely agree with you on that.
I could see Nixon and St. Juste in certain situations. You know, they're facing, you know, a really big receiver that's could be a bad matchup with Cisse, and they go with St. Juste.
The only reason I asked is because I am starting to wonder if they're at least solid at the top three on their quarterback depth chart.
Solid.
Where Keyshawn Nixon,
okay. Yeah.
And honestly, if Micah Parsons comes back and is Micah Parsons again, that's all they need. They need to be solid. They can't be worse than solid.
Right.
That's a problem.
Right.
But if they're at least solid, they'll be fine, I think, if Micah Parsons is Micah Parsons. I think Keyshawn Nixon is solid. He's not a number one corner. There's not 32 number one corners in the league. That's one of those positions. Not every team has one. The Packers are among the teams that don't. That doesn't make them special. They have plenty of company there. He is a solid starting corner. Brandon Cisse, they're going to give him every opportunity. He's looked fine so far. Benjamin St. Juste, I'm not even ready to rule out his possibility of being the week one starter. It's a long way for Brandon Cisse to go in camp. We'll see what happens. I think that he would do just fine. And talking with him this week, he's learned a lot throughout his career of what to do and what not to do. And he has kind of come full circle to not going and chasing picks anymore, not playing outside of structure, which a lot of young corners, they get tempted to do and then succumb to that because you get picks in this league at that position, you get paid. And everyone knows that. I want to go get paid. I got to get the ball. The Packers need solid cover corners. That's what they need, and that's what his mindset is. That fits in really well with what they have. At the very least, if Brandon Cisse wins that job and is fine, and Keyshawn Nixon is fine, then you're looking at having a third corner off the sideline for depth reasons, for injuries, that is also fine. That's starting to trend in a better direction than what I had wondered coming into camp.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other thing is the strength of their secondary is their safeties.
Yeah. Correct.
So that's what you have to play to that strength. So that means, okay, you're probably going to play a lot of zone coverages, but you're going to have a lot of help. You know, you've got these three guys who are interchangeable and can play all over the field. I think you can get away with, like you said, being solid, because that's your strength. You can't be necessarily strong at every single position. So if you're strong at safety and not that great at corner, you use those safeties to make up for what you have. So that's Gannon's mission, is how does he, you know, get the most out of those corners using everybody on the field.
That's true. I couldn't help but laugh, though, when you were talking about Keyshawn Nixon, that Packers fan on the sideline that had the Nixon jersey on, and he was talking to you. It felt like he had to hide himself.
Well, he turns around to me, and he's like, am I going to get killed for this? And I'm like, you're asking the wrong person, because truth be told,
he's not
told him
that
I'm higher on Keyshawn Nixon than most people. And how high am I on Keyshawn Nixon? He's a solid starting corner in this league.
Yeah.
That is what he is.
I couldn't help but laugh, you know. I guess that's part of why I avoid social media sometimes. I'm like, yeah, he's not that bad.
He's really not.
Like, but...
He's not a number one corner, but that doesn't mean that he's garbage either.
Exactly.
Like, there's a happy middle in between those two.
Yeah, but just the fact that a fan that had a Nixon jersey on felt like he had to hide himself from the crowd because he would get attacked. So, but... It is what it is. I'm about to say, there was some fans that had Trey Smack jerseys on, too, but I don't know if they were also going to start hiding after the kicks today. But before we do talk about some special teams there, right? I do want to talk, kind of circle back a little bit to the offense, because it looks like they are in a positive direction in terms of getting a really good tight end back into the mix. Because we haven't had a podcast since Tucker Kraft. Mm. He's not only talked to the media, but he's off the PUP list. And he's been back out there, obviously not doing a team or anything like that, but he's doing a lot of individual drills with the tight ends. And even today, I laugh when, you know, the Jordan Love and all the quarterbacks are throwing the ball into the net and going through their drills. Tucker Kraft was the net today, so he was doing a lot of the catching for the quarterbacks. But just, I guess, seeing where he's at right now, and obviously when he talked to the media, you know, just kind of been the takeaways on not only what he said, but just kind of watching him out there.
Tucker Kraft has done blocking drills and individual drill. He has done some routes on air during special team drills on the other side of the field with Jordan Love. Has not done routes on air yet in the individual period. I've watched him a lot. What I think is very interesting and frankly positive about what he has done so far is the way that he has treated these reps. He is attacking them the way that you would expect from a Tucker Kraft. He is attacking them the way that he attacks DBs when he has the ball during games. And you can see the burst. Like, he caught a little, the classic Tucker Kraft check down out today, turn up field, and he turned on the jets, and it was there. That was a very good sign. Blocking. He's driving his legs. Like, he looks explosive blocking. Very good sign. We'll have to see a lot more, obviously, but I do think that everything has been positive that we have seen from Tucker Kraft. And even the way that he's put it out there, he said that he had a meeting before his first day in pads with the medical, and the doctor said that, in his words, his knee looks spectacular. It looks like there was never an injury there, and it's one of the finest recoveries this doctor had ever seen. That's Tucker Kraft's assessment of where he's at. It's pretty glowing. So far, so good. Long way to go, but so far, if you're a Packers fan, I think you have to be pleased with what he has done to this point.
Well, I will say they better hope he's okay.
Yeah, because Luke Musgrave is, yep, is hurt, and yeah, I don't know what his situation's going to be. He's got a neck injury, and those are serious. Mm-hmm. And until they figure out, you know, what's wrong, maybe they have. They're not being very forthcoming about it. He's been around the team, and he's been out at practice, but neck injuries are tricky, and if he's not available at the start of the year, I don't know. They're going to have to be on the lookout for somebody. They've got Josh Wiley, who I think is a functional number three, but they're going to need, you know, somebody who can block for number two, because I don't think Tucker Kraft's going to play 70 snaps right out of the gate in week one. I think that'd be kind of stupid. Hmm. I mean, they didn't do that with Christian Watson. Right. No, they didn't do that with, I was going to say Elton Jenkins. I can't remember what they did with Elton Jenkins. But guys who've had the ACLs, they've been pretty careful.
One difference between Tucker Kraft and Christian Watson, though, is that Christian Watson came back midseason. And so he only had that two-week PUP window. I think it was 2 weeks for him to ramp up. Mm-hmm. Tucker Kraft's got six weeks. Well, I understand your point. Like it's sound reasoning, but I also wouldn't be shocked if he had a full plate week one with how much of a runway he has.
Well, let's see what kind of runway he does have, because, you know, when are they going to let him practice in pads? Is that like, do they have a date like mid October?
Right. Yeah.
Or later? You know, maybe
team reps. You mean like team?
Yeah,
reps.
Yeah, yeah, like actual 11-on-11. Once we see that, then we'll have a better idea of whether he can handle a full load. But
yeah,
I still think they'll be a little conservative with him. But bottom line, without Musgrave, they're looking for a tight end.
Yeah. And that was the other thing. It was surprising to hear Tucker Kraft say, like, his goal would be go out there during that joint practice with the Cardinals. I was like, man.
Well, you know, it's not a bad idea to get him, you know, at some point he's got to get – he's got to play, you know, he's got to do some football stuff, and it's not live, it's just a little more you know, intense. So yeah. I don't know.
And importantly, from where we sit right now, that's 23 days away. That's more than 3 weeks away.
Yeah.
That's a long time from now.
Yeah.
I don't think it's crazy. And Ian and Matt LaFleur say that's not crazy to think. You know, that,
no. They said it's possible.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that's crazy at all.
I don't know. Just your guys' thoughts. Are you surprised? Not surprised. I don't know if that's the right word. But I guess your thoughts on, I mean, he doesn't have his contract yet that he wants. And he is out there. Like, every day is a risk, right? Yeah. When you're dealing with not having the contract you want plus the injury. I don't know, and especially in the world of holdouts, and we're seeing them around the league right now. Just kind of thoughts on that. Does it, I don't know, like I said, maybe surprise is the word.
I'm sure his agent tried to get him to stay out, but he doesn't seem to be. I think in his mind he's going to do everything he can to be ready. He probably has a big insurance policy in case something does happen that would cover him for our, you know, the contract.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys will do it, and some won't. And he's a little bit of a different breed that way. So
would you do it?
No.
If it was you?
No.
I wouldn't either.
My client? No.
I wouldn't either.
Allow him
either. Now, yeah. I do think that it does lend some credibility to when Tucker Kraft is glowing about how good his knee is and how good the doctors think it is. It lends credibility to that, because if there was any question at all, I don't care how much Tucker Kraft loves football and wants to play, there's no chance that if it was any gray there, that he would be on the field right now.
Yeah.
There's just no chance. You would get the contract extension first, and then you would think about playing football. So there's some credibility there. Now, I'm not saying it's still a risk. I wouldn't do it. But I do think there's some credibility to what he's been saying about his knee when he's the fact that he's practicing.
Yeah, so that's something I just, again, I found it kind of intriguing. So what else? Y'all got anything else you want to talk about?
Or? I want to say one more thing about the DBs.
Yeah.
Last 2 days, it's been very interesting, especially today. The blitz scheme. You think of corners, you think of cover, right? You don't think of blitz. But the way that Jonathan Gannon has been using his corners in the blitz package, it's been impossible not to notice.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to think it's not an accident either, because this is a defense that until Micah Parsons gets back is going to have to uncover every rock, find every possible way to pressure the quarterback. And it's not always going to be Lucas Van Ness and Baron Sorrell. It's going to need to obviously be Edgerrin Cooper and some Zaire Franklin. It's also going to be the DBs. Like, it's going to be all hands on deck. And they've had some success. I mean, it's been striking that they've been able to do that within the scheme. I think that that's something they might be growing for the first month of the season especially.
Yeah, the question is this just one of their installations that they're putting in, you know, so their corner blitzes, they know they can do it, or is this going to be a staple of their defense?
Yeah.
That's to be told. Mm-hmm. You know, Gannon was not a big blitzer in Philadelphia. You know, he had a pretty good front four, so he didn't blitz all that much. I think he blitzed a little bit more in Arizona. The thing I think we'll see with Gannon that was different from Halfley is that he's going to be more complicated. Like, there's going to be, you know, more personnel settings. It's not going to just be your classic cover two all the time.
Mm-hmm.
and guys playing off. I think we're going to see different kind of odd fronts and odd, you know, formations and things like that. So that'll be interesting to see. And we're not going to see that till the regular season. So we won't really know what he's bringing until then.
Take this for what it's worth, because of what you just said. We're not really going to know until they actually are not hiding anything, right? And they actually put what they believe their best scheme is on the field in games that count. But I asked that question around the locker room today. I asked Benjamin St. Juice, Evan Williams, is this just installation? Like, did they just say, hey, today we're going to just install our blitz scheme from the DBs and the perimeter, or is this something that can be a staple? And both separately said, no, I think this is a strength of our defense. I think this is something that we had a lot of good rushing DBs, blitzing DBs, and that this is something we can be good at. Benjamin St. Juice stopped short of saying, when I asked, you kind of need that for Parsons returns? He's like, I don't think we're going to do it more just because we don't have Micah to start the season. But I think that this is something that can be a strength for us throughout the season, So that's where their mindset is. We don't know until September, but that's at least what they're thinking. They think that this is something that can really actually be a staple.
Yeah. Like I said, it'll be very fascinating to watch and see because, at least in practice with the pads on, like I said, it's been intriguing. Like you seeing Javon Bullard or an Evan Williams and different guys look like they're blitzing, they go back. So creative. And like I said, even a lot of those guys, I guess that's what stood out to me. They seem pretty comfortable, at least what they're doing right now. Because you're watching Javon Bullard in coverage. I thought he's been really solid in that. Evan Williams has some nice pass breakups. Xavier McKinney had an interception. So they're moving around a little bit, at least in this from practice from what we've seen. So anything else? Are y'all ready to talk about kicker?
Yeah, let's wrap it up with the kicking.
Yes, so Trace Mack, the rookie from University of Florida, he has been out there, and you can tell this is a rookie figuring out Green Bay, Wisconsin. So, Ryan, what you and Spoon, y'all have it marked, what, he's 7 for 13 in camp?
I guess it's 8 of 13. Spoon, did you ask if he made that 43-yarder today?
I didn't ask him, but
I had it wide right. You had to make
him when he was talking. Yeah. Did any?
I don't know. I had him wide right from 43 yards today. Others had him just narrowly within the uprights. Now, how can there be differing opinions? It's a lot easier to have differing opinions than you might think. Because early on in camp, when he first started kicking, we had the luxury, the great luxury of officials standing underneath the upright signaling whether the kick was good or not. Because we are standing on the sideline. There's a reason why when you watch any extra point or field goal in an NFL game, it's an end zone view camera. There's a reason for that because you don't see it near as well from the sideline. Kicks that are close, tough to tell. Very quickly, someone, we'll call him Matt LaFleur, I think, told those officials to get the hell out because how dare you indicate whether a kick is good or not.
Well, it's so dumb.
It is really dumb.
I mean, it's really like, okay, so we'll decide, and then we'll put up there what we think it is.
And this is what you had. I thought he was wide right. You thought it was good. Like,
so if Trace Mack is worried about, you know, what his numbers are, and he needs to go to social media to see what his numbers are, you know, they may be right, or there might be one off. Why not just have him right, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's just childish. That's some of that stuff. Just doesn't it's like a waste of his time.
Yeah,
you know, the other one
about that crap.
Yeah, I want to get your this isn't quote unquote a podium question. I might ask it anyway. The crackdown on the fans taking video of team reps in this camp, for years and years and years they've done this, right? Now there's none of that. Obviously it's a LaFleur directive. Obviously it stems from paranoia. I just wonder if ever there's been a time when a recording of a team rep in August has actually hurt a team come regular season. I have a hard time buying that.
Yeah. Not to mention people are in the stands shooting. Like, you can't stop every person in the stands.
Oh, but they've tried.
I've seen stuff on Twitter already. I saw one. And then their own video crew is showing highlights of practice. Yeah. So whatever, you know. I mean, fine. Whatever.
Like you said, the question is, what do you gain from it? Like you said, it just feels
nothing.
It feels like a waste of time more than anything because you can't hide him that long. You can't hide these guys in the NFL.
Why are you protecting him?
You can't.
I mean, and they are doing it also by not having any competition in camp.
Yeah. Yep.
So
no safety.
Are you saying to everybody that he's so fragile that you can't count what he is against field goals and that you can't have competition either?
So much for my hypothesis that maybe Lenny Craig just looked great in that tryout.
Yeah.
So much for that.
Yeah.
That didn't age well.
What do you mean? That might be right. You know, that he looks
so
good.
He looked too good.
And then they got him out there, and they're like, oh, we can't have him on there.
It's our draft pick.
We thought he was going to, you know, hit like 50% of his field goals.
So yeah. Trace Mack is either 7 of 13 or 8 of 13. I don't really know for sure. We'll call it 7.5 of 13. It's the ballpark. You get an idea. It doesn't really matter what this early, especially one kick to another. That's not great. That's not. But I will remind you, Brandon McManus was pretty much literally automatic in camp last year. It didn't matter. So the fact that he's 7.5 of 13, to me, I'm not worried about that at this juncture. I don't know when the line is that I think it will become worrisome. I just know, to me, it's not August 3rd.
Well, let's see. You know, typically on practice in Lambeau, they let him kick a ton. Mm-hmm. So let's see how he handles
that. Family night would be interesting.
And who was it that they, was it Crosby where they went out there and he kept missing or something like that? Do you remember that family
night?
Yeah,
I think it was Crosby.
And it was just kind of a debacle. But
it was.
But he's got three games to kick in, and he's going to kick, and they're going to let him kick. And we'll find out a little bit more than that. One of them, you know, is Denver, where he should be really good. Pittsburgh is the worst place in the NFL to kick field goals. That'll be a challenge. Yeah. So let's see what he does there. And then he comes back to Lambeau Field. So there's plenty of time and plenty of opportunity. I think rookie kickers are, they're going to cause some consternation, and they're going to miss kicks. And
like the Ravens last year?
Yeah, and you just hope at the end of the year that, you know, that they find their groove.
Yeah. One of the reasons I'm not concerned for him now is I did talk to him after his first day of kicking. I didn't talk to him today because I might talk to kickers, which is more than Matt LaFleur apparently talks to kickers, but twice in a row when there's a lot of other things to get to in camp is a bit much. He said that the wind, for his introduction in camp to be the day it was Sunday, with the kind of wind that there was on the field, which was substantial and very tricky, it was swirling, was pretty ideal because this is stuff that he's going to have to figure out. And he, first time up, he gets this opportunity. He said the wind, all practice had been swirling but blowing right. The gusts were right. And as soon as field goal started, the gusts went left. And we could feel it on the field. Like, he was 3 for 5 in his opening 5 set. Both misses were wide left. The wind was very clearly going left. And Trace Mack's trying to put it down the middle, and then the wind's taking it, which happens year-round here in Green Bay. But that's the type of thing that he needs a crash course in. That's the type of thing that Mason Crosby had a PhD in, was understanding that as a Green Bay Packers kicker. He's going to have to work through all of this. He's never done this before. I asked him what was the wind like in Gainesville, and he's like, yeah, it was more of a breeze and it was consistent. Because there's wind everywhere on the planet. It's just what kind of wind. So it was a breeze and consistent. Guess what? That's not Green Bay wind. Yeah. That's not in any realm similar to what you're encountering here. He's going to have to go through this. The fact that he's made a little more than half of his first 13 field goals in this wind, not a surprise. The question is, how long does it take?
Yeah, and not only that, I don't know how much this matters, but you can maybe even throw in the fact Matt Orzech is not long snapping either.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because there was a few kicks that were some high and low snaps.
Yes. Absolutely.
You're absolutely right by that, Dom.
Yeah, so it's like, let them figure it out. So someone asked me, when would you hit the panic button on that? I was like, I don't know, maybe week 2 or 3? Like, who knows? Like, even then, week 1 Minnesota, they're indoors, so he shouldn't make those kicks indoors. But like you said, it's still plenty of time for him to figure it out. We'll wait and see, but I guess they're going to try to protect him as best they can. But he did say this is, I mean, it's new, right? I asked him that today, too. I was like, you know, did you kick in front of an audience outside of a spring game in Florida? He's like, no. He's like, no, there weren't crowds like this just in practice when I'm trying to figure it out as I go. He says, so, yeah, it adds the pressure, it adds the anxiety. He's like, but it's beneficial for him. So, you know.
Yeah, how about if you want to remove the referees? How about removing all those people who are in our way at practice, too, you know, to take the pressure off of them? How about
too many people?
Sorry,
I don't mean to bitch about those people, but
it's just nonsense.
It's not helpful.
Sometimes makes it harder.
Yes.
Harder to do.
Yes, it does. So I must say, that's something you got off your chest as we end the podcast.
Yeah.
You can think.
I'm trying to be very zen about this and not, it's not those people's fault. They get free passes, and I would do the same if I were a fan.
Yeah.
And I got a chance to go and watch practice.
That's true. But it would be nice to have security say, okay, take one step back, let the media, yeah. just let them so they can mark right. plays, get the video, everything, instead of us sneaking around them and the cell phones in front of our face. Like, you know, like you said, I'm not trying to do that either.
Nobody's feeling sorry for us.
No, they're not. But anyways, it's been first day of padded practice, and hey, we'll wait and see, you know, what the rest of the week looks like, and they'll have a few more of these, and then again, family night on Friday, and hey, we'll wait and see what happens. So, any final words, final thoughts, guys?
First day of padded practice is the first day of real camp, yeah. but for me, camp doesn't begin until the one-on-ones start.
Mm. Yeah.
That's the lifeblood. Nothing says training camp like one-on-one battle, and
that's tomorrow. That's
gonna,
Tuesday?
That's going to happen Tuesday. Yeah. So what am I looking forward to? Seeing some one-on-ones.
Yeah. So that's going to be very fascinating to see some of those guys line up. And what's the one receiver DB matchup you're interested
Lucas,
in?
Lucas Van Ness, Jordan Morgan.
That's the biggest thing.
No, that'll be
any position. So okay. What about you?
Say if he lines up against Christian Watson.
That was mine. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm trying not to steal yours, but that was something that I was curious about. Like you said, how would he handle it? How would he monitor it?
When it's something he's been trying to do. You know, Watson is his locker mate right next door, and they do go against each other, and he's learning a lot from Christian Watson, so he's going to learn some more.
Yeah. So that one was fascinating because honestly, last year, the best battle were Romeo Doubs and Carrington Valentine.
Before that, it was Jair Alexander and Devontae Adams would go at it every day, you know, and then you'd see him off talking about it, too, about each rep, you know. So that is a way for CSA to get better.
Yeah. Before that, it was David Bakhtiari, Clay Matthews, you know. Yeah. I mean, some of the – I'm telling you, one-on-ones are it.
Yeah. But even today, I'm not even going to say, like, Jordan Morgan Van Ness would be very intriguing because during the non-padded practices, you just saw Van Ness living in that backfield, and it looked like, oh, man. He's doing just fine. But then they threw the pads on. Looked like Morgan did a better job in holding his own. At least I didn't see 90 living in the backfield as often.
I just think that that's the matchup of camp because I think the two biggest X-factor players on this roster in a vacuum in terms of guys that we don't know about, but guys that could go either way, but also guys that are so important to this team that which way they go really affects the season, are Lucas Van Ness and Jordan Morgan.
Yeah.
They are your top edge rusher for the first 6 weeks of the season and your new left tackle. And they're going to go against each other.
Yeah.
That will be very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. So, guys, let's do it all again tomorrow. Thank you so much for checking out the Green 19 podcast. For Ryan Wood, Tom Silverstein, I'm Dominique Yates.